That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel
is gonna roll around once more.
When it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning, and it has rolled around again. It is Saturday morning once again, and we welcome you here to the Radio Ranch this Saturday, July 19th. Good morning, Kyle.
Good morning.
And good morning, John.
Morning. How are you?
We're doing well and abundantly blessed. At least I am. I don't know about you, Kyle. How are you?
I am abundantly blessed.
You
look absolutely
good. You got your coffee on over there.
Yeah.
Kyle's in his shorts.
I got a comfortable chair here that kind of leans back.
Yeah, it is. You almost have to because the sunshine's coming through the window pretty hard.
I'm kind of trying to avoid that.
The blind is not doing its job this morning, but that's all right. Beautiful day out here at the Radio Ranch. Actually had rain in town yesterday, but not here. And that's good. We can
that means rain on me and not on you.
There you go. We could use a day or two of drying out. But we do welcome you here. And Jason's spending some time with his family, so we'll open up the phone lines a little early. Give it a few minutes here, and we'll get them open up if you call in and have a minute or two you want to share a few things with us. But let's start out with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, this opportunity to be here, Father, for this fellowship with each other and with you. We thank you, Lord, that you allow us to continue to build on the foundation, Lord, that our pastor built, this ministry. And that, Lord, that the foundation of the ministry is built on the foundation of Jesus Christ, the rock, the solid rock, which, when you build on that, it stands. And so, Lord, help us to continue to build on that solid rock foundation that our pastor started, Lord. Help us to continue to edify, to encourage, Lord, at times to rebuke and to take rebuke, but, Lord, to have a sweet fellowship with the remnant and with you. And Lord, to help the remnant in their walk with the Lord and to help open the eyes of the blind that need to be opened, Lord. Guide and direct us. We pray for a blessed day. Father, we pray for your remnant out there, from sea to shining sea and all over the world. that, Lord, you'd bless them and prosper them even as their soul prospers. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, John, Kyle, and I were just talking a little bit in here about this Malaysia Airlines jet that got shot down over there in the Ukraine. And didn't know if you had any specific comments on that. The one thing I said is, you know, Russia or Russians and Ukrainians, and, you know, they do it, and it's like, you know, you get that in war. And that seems to be
the
response.
You can see that while the wreckage was still smoking, the U.S. was quick to try to blame Russia, so that should be one flag. Another thing is that thing was shot down at 33,000 feet. That's not a surface-to-air missile or anything. That's some serious
firepower. That's not a shoulder file.
Or it could have been a jet, too. You know, it could have been a military jet that shot it down. But the other interesting thing is this is the second plane from Malaysia in, 4 months?
Yeah, it's just gone.
Yep. And, well, who's to say that the first one wasn't shot down? If it went down over the ocean and nobody said anything until everything sank, then it would be kind of the same situation. I mean, We don't have all the answers. But another thing that I just looked up is it was on the anniversary of TWA Flight 800, which was in July 17th, 1996.
Wow.
Kind of weird how those dates always line
it is
up, you know?
They do. Yeah. I sure don't understand
but
it.
This,
they do.
This flight, think about this. This plane supposedly was shot at 33,000 feet. And look at how much debris and bodies and all that. I don't know if you remember, but Flight 93, Pennsylvania, there was no plane pieces. There was
nothing.
There was just a crater.
A crater.
There was no plane.
That wasn't flying at 33,000 feet either.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Things, what's the old cowboy saying? What's the old cowboy saying? It ain't so much what we don't know, it's just that what we know that just ain't so.
Yeah.
And, things just don't add up. They just don't add up. Even that TWA Flight 800 you talked about back in the 90s, you know, I remember seeing pictures, you know, a long time ago, but a debris field. I mean, it's what happens. You know,
they had video showing something coming right into the plane.
Yeah, there was a rocket. Yeah. You know, of course, they quit showing that after a while.
It was a fuel tank, though, remember?
Yeah.
A wire.
And then they had these
fuel.
I remember the witnesses the first day that happened. They had these witnesses that seen it, you know, and they're like, you know, something came up out, you know what I mean? So they have not only video and witnesses, and then all of a sudden it just all goes away, and, you know,
right. Pretty
soon it's geese and it's this and it's, you know.
Yeah. Well, you remember when Oklahoma City happened too? The early footage of the TV stations, the local TV stations, showed their bomb retrieval units going in there and carefully removing these bombs and putting them into disposal units. And boy, that footage was gone in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Bah.
Yeah. That's it.
No doubt. And the other thing that's going on is, you know, Israel, the false Israel anyway, the Israeli lies are in an out-and-out war there on the Gaza Strip. They activated their army, initiated a ground operation within the Gaza Strip to strike a significant blow to the Hamas terror infrastructure.
They said another thing that's interesting about this flight is typically the media won't show pictures with bodies strewn, and apparently I haven't really seen a lot of the pictures on the news, CNN or anything, but
they're pretty graphic.
Apparently they're saying that they're showing pictures of that to get the people upset. Yeah. And if you remember too, in the Oklahoma City thing, all it was about was the children and the innocent people, and I mean they put that all before our eyes for probably a week before that whole thing turned on them, and then there was nothing.
Yep.
And you already got, you know, like John McCain saying there'll be hell to pay if this plane was shot down, you know. So it's got reminiscent of 9/11.
Yeah, it is. They play chess, we play checkers, and they stay a couple moves ahead of us. It's just how it is. Just how it is. Seems like we read something about that, didn't we? Hosea 4:6. Doesn't it talk about my people being destroyed?
If you forget his laws.
If we forget his law, he forgets our children. And he says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And I think it says that again in Isaiah. Yeah. Don't remember seeing this before, this reference, but Isaiah 5:13 says the same thing, or a similar thing. Therefore, my people go into exile for their lack of knowledge. And Tim and I on Gideon's Armory, we filled in for Jason last night. We kind of talked about that a little bit, about the going into exile is different today. You know, we were taken into captivity in our past, but today we're being invaded and just being taken into captivity here in our own land because we don't have anywhere else to go. And it's because of that lack of knowledge. It's not lack of scientific knowledge. And I think we said last night, it's not lack of carnal knowledge. It's lack of spiritual knowledge. It's lack of knowledge of God. And because of that, his people go into exile. His people are destroyed. Our people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge.
Well,
yeah, the question we should be asking is, who was on that plane?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah.
And maybe they were all insignificant. Maybe it was just a murder, you know, shedding of innocent blood again.
Sacrifice.
Just another offering.
Yep. Yeah,
just to get something they're going for, you know what I mean? Yeah, or offering to Satan, whatever. But there's been so much innocent blood shed. I'm saying that, and I probably don't have a clue of how much innocent blood's been. You know, I mean, probably not even a decibel on the scale of how much innocent blood has been shed. You know.
Well, that happens in war, and that's what they're doing. It is a war. It's an all-out war on Christianity and on, not just on Christianity, but on the white, you know, Anglo Christianity. We've seen it in Europe, and we're sure seeing it here as well. There were comparisons made. I saw on one blurb, somebody sent me a link, of the Russian separatists that are fighting over there in the Ukraine that they're saying shot this plane down, and Tea Partiers. You know, they've already linked that together. And so those are just like Tea Partiers with real guns, with bigger guns.
Yeah.
And so what link is that making in the people's minds? Well, so that's what their Tea Party does over there. So is that what the Tea Party people here are going to do? So, anyway.
I'd watch the coffee drinkers more than I'd watch the tea drinkers.
We like coffee drinkers. And we like coffee. We do.
So what did you guys come up with last night on the slavery thing? On exile?
Well.
Did you end up with a solution?
Well, the solution guys had a good program. You know, theirs was on prayers for the remnant, for their eyes to be opened. Zach had mentioned that, and that our prayers are more effective when we're humble.
Amen.
And that was a good solutions program. Was glad to be able to sit in on that. I think the main thing that we came up with the reason for this invasion, you know, it's not President Obama's fault. You know, it's not. It's
no,
not the fault.
Sin.
It's not the fault of the tens of thousands of children that are just coming in, and the hundreds of thousands of adults and terrorists and people that have tuberculosis and have all type of other diseases that you can't even imagine, from scabies to lice to just, you know, all types of things.
Those are the results,
right, of our sin.
Yeah.
Of our sin. And that's what we talked about. We talked about here, I think we made it to about Ezekiel 39. See if I've got it here. The nations will know that the house of Israel went into exile. And again, we compared, you know, the Babylonian captivity, the Assyrian captivity. These hordes came in and took our people and then took them out of the land. Well, it's different now. So when we read here about the exile of then, today it's, and Tim had a word. He said, you know, and I wrote it down here. He said, it was an exile then. Now it's an inzile, because we're basically being taken captivity in our own land. You know, and we are. These people crossed the border with no paperwork, no health certificate, no nothing. You know, do you know what it's like if one of us want to travel outside the country? Okay, you better not have the sniffles. They won't let you go. And you better have your paperwork. Oh, you have your passport. Okay, is it current? You know, is it up to date? You know, well, this picture, you know, this doesn't really look like you.
You know if your driver's license is expired, it's not an acceptable form of
identification. Yes, I do know that. I've learned
that firsthand.
Yeah, me too. See, because we're being held in captivity. We are in captivity. The other people can come and go like they want. You know, those children. Oh, Mama-san from whatever. Oh, they'll go down. They'll fly planes down to Guatemala to get these children's parents and uncles and aunts and everything else up here. You think they're going to check their papers? No. They come and go as they please on our cost. With us, pay the big bucks, have your papers in order if you want to move.
Yeah, but think of this, too. You're bringing all those kids in from all these other countries with all these different diseases that we've, through the grace of God, defeated out of this country for years. And now you're going to send them into all the suburbs all around the country, and you're going to offer $6,000 bounties, basically, to house these children to people. They're going to be fighting to take these kids into their homes.
Yeah.
And what are they doing? They're just spreading all that disease.
They are. But anyway, so we read in Ezekiel 39, the nations will know that the house of Israel went into exile for their iniquity. And that means sin, as John said. Because they acted treacherously against me, and I hid my face from them, so I gave them into the hand of their adversaries, and all of them fell by the sword. According to their uncleanness and according to their transgressions, I dealt with them, and I hid my face from them. And he's doing that again now. You know, he says that we, because they acted treacherously against me. You know, he's blessed this nation beyond belief. And what have we done? Oh, you can't talk about him in the schools or in the government or in your place of business. It might offend some filthy faggot pervert that wants to do filthy faggot things with another filthy faggot pervert. Oh, you might offend one of them. Good. They're going to be offended. But the people, oh no, this is the Christian thing to do. They offend God. And it's because of our sin. It's not because of, you know, and you see, it's interesting, I think, when they talk about how, you know, back in the Reagan days, Reagan didn't close the borders. He said it so it could be opened up. You know, the people today look back to Reagan, you know, that, oh, he was the greatest thing, the greatest president ever, and this and that. He just helped start all this stuff. You know, he was an actor. He said the right things, and, you know, and he reminds us of our dads and of the you know, the more gentlemanly, scholarly people of that generation. Yeah, he does, but he wasn't any different than what we got now. He was doing what he was supposed to do, and it's because of, and I'm back to Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being my priest. And since you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. And that's where we are living today. And I think that's why we're being invaded. You know, the people out in California, they stood up to the invasion. They stopped those buses cold. You're not bringing them into our town, waving the flag. Yeah, you know. And any four of the people they showed doing that had more tattoos than the guys down at the tattoo parlor. But you know, they oh, Vic, they had a victory. Well, they, you know, they just fly him in next time, or wait 2 days and bring him in at midnight, and then they're there. And you know, the whatever it was, Pelayer or wherever it was, California, that they stopped them. Well, they did. They were made aware of it. I don't mean to knock them down, but it ain't going to happen waving a flag, stopping a bus on the road, because that's not what caused it. It's because of our iniquity as a people, because of our sin.
Well, they told us what they were going to do a long time ago, a lot of years ago, with the European Union divided into these, I think it was three segments, and one of the segments is Mexico, Canada, and the U.S., no borders.
Yeah.
And they're doing it.
Yep, they are. You know, Tim mentioned that. We talked the other day and about that North American Union, how they're, you know, the borders have to come down. They're actually doing a, they're having a, and we have a caller. Caller, we'll get right to you. Give me just a second. There's a think tank or a group out there called, I think it's FEE, F-E-E. And I don't know if it's Freedom Economic Evolution, something anyway. But they put out the book, they print the book by Bastier, The Law, by Bastier. And so I get their emails, and there's some little discussion coming up, I think down in Boulder or Colorado. And it's that the borders have to come down. You know, we're seeing this. The borders have to come down for economic reasons and for all this. And you're right, John. It's just they're telling us what they're going
to
do. Hey, let's take a phone call. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning.
Ah, boy, got a real hot mic there. Let's try that again. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hold that phone.
Yeah. Oh, hey, Russell. I don't know, you got to change phones or something, or move the mic or something. Boy, it's really, really hot mic this morning. How are you?
Good. I think the borders are secure.
Oh, you've secured the border?
Maybe he's on the border right now, and so we're...
Is that...
No, the borders are secure, 100% secure from Mexico.
The borders are secure from Mexico. Well, good. It's good to know that.
Oh. Try to hold your phone a little bit away from your mouth, Russell. See
yep.
if that helps.
Boy, it's super hot this morning.
I don't have a phone for my mouth. Let me try to get a phone.
Yeah, it's a good call. I want to hear it.
Oh, yeah.
The...
I think you said that the military backed up 40 miles off in back into Texas off the border.
So they gave
exactly.
They just gave 40 miles. Yeah. Well, you know.
Because now they have to treat them like American citizens because they're already in America. So now they already have the rights that they wouldn't have if they stop them at the border. Duh.
Exactly. So here's the deal. You know, when they brought the Trojan horse over, they didn't tell them it was full of
yeah.
people who can't take their land.
Yeah.
This Pastor Peters used to say, you know, things never change. The cycles of mankind just keep repeating themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently we are just gonna let them take it. They bring good tidings of love and joy.
And,
so
and tuberculosis and scabies and lice and, you know. And you know, have you ever noticed, you know, they don't have indoor plumbing in Mexico. Because when the Mexicans come here, they don't understand that the toilet paper is supposed to be flushed down the toilet. You ever notice that? I hate to bring that up, but it is. They're a filthy people. Not just the Mexicans, but the South Americans, the Guatemalans. They're coming from all down there. It's their culture. Yes, their culture to wipe and throw it all over on the bathroom floor instead of flushing it down the toilet. And, you know, don't call me a racist, because every one of you listening, if you've ever stopped in a store that's run by them, you know that's how it is. They're a filthy people, and you wonder why they have these filthy diseases.
I think it's a good point, too, because God can't visit the camp that's got doo-doo wipe all over.
No, he won't.
He stays out of the camp when it's filthy.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So that would stand to reason that it's a godless country.
And you look and you wonder, well, why are they coming here? You know, it's not like they don't have the natural resources we have. It's a beautiful country down there. It's similar to what? Most of it, a lot of it, to Arizona, to New Mexico, to Nevada. Look what this nation's done with those places. Drill wells, bring the water up that's there. There's water under the ground there, too. And irrigate it, and you make it. You can make it beautiful. You can make it a productive land. But and all of South America is that way.
Well, I passed a guy in Junction, Texas yesterday. Met him at a rest stop. He said he was from McAllen, and I said, "Where are you headed?" He said, "North Dakota." He said, "I'm getting as far away from this mess as I can get." And he said, "There's dead children's bodies all over down there, laying in the fields."
Oh,
and he said, "You people have no idea what's headed this way." And that's McAllen, Texas is about 350 miles south of San Antonio, I guess. Just thought I'd report from the south side of the United States that everything's secure. That's what Harry Reid said yesterday. And so you could go back to the ESPN's running a special on all the training camps for the NFL.
How's our little homosexual buddy doing? The queer faggot football player that just wants it to be about his football ability as he's fondling and kissing all over his filthy pervert when they're showing him. How's he? Anybody know? I know nobody cares.
Let me give you another report. A couple of perverted lesbians were kissing in a restaurant in San Antonio, and the owner politely asked them to get out. And guess what? Now they're filing a lawsuit against the restaurant.
Yeah.
Now, so this spurred me to come up with this whole new idea. It's a great new campaign. And we're going to call it a gay-free zone.
A gay-free zone.
Yeah, and what I want to do is put bumper stickers on all establishments that are completely gay-free so that you'll know before you go in that gaydomism is not accepted in this establishment.
Yeah, except you got to call them what they are, queers. Queer free.
Yeah.
Okay, queer free, faggot, what, sodomite, sodomy, whatever, free zone.
Yep.
So we don't tolerate it. We have a zero tolerance policy we just come out with.
Yep. Amen.
Zero tolerance. Isn't that a great idea?
Yeah, I remember seeing somebody holding a sign that said, what was it? Something about tolerance should not be tolerated.
Well, the fact is the queers are saying they were discriminated against.
Yeah.
And so we've got to realize that, as Pastor Peter did say, somebody's going to be discriminated against. It's just a question of who's going to discriminate against who.
Yeah, good point.
They don't want us to open up a bar for straight people, do they?
No. Oh, no, that's discrimination.
That would be wrong. So anyway, I just thought I'd give you just a heads up from South Texas and let you know what's going on down here. It's amazing to me that somebody would have enough balls to throw the lesbians out, actually.
Yeah, it's good.
But thy will be done, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And thank
Amen.
You for the call. Opportunity to express my opinion.
Thank you, Russell.
Thanks, Russell. Okay, hold the line.
yeah, hold the line in the sand down there.
Okay.
All right. Talk to you later.
Yeah. Thy will is being done.
It absolutely is.
Deuteronomy 28. You keep doing what God wants you to do, and you're going to have blessings.
Yep.
You stop doing that, and you're going to have curses, you know?
Right.
And that's
about four times longer in the curse section.
Yeah.
It is. You look at the founding of this nation and the settling. Man, it was called Manifest Destiny. And the settling of our people. Excuse me. But the settling of this nation with our people all the way across it. The people came, they multiplied. Now, were they perfect? No. But it was a Christian, nation. It was founded on Christian principles. You know, our enemies have done all they can to just to wipe that, the memory of that out of the people today. But it was that way. You know, I'm looking here at the probably 100 books on the wall that were a lot of old Pastor Earl Jones's. And I guarantee, you know, you read through some of these, and they talk about the history of the West. Here's one, World History, an encyclopedia of world history. And, you know, you look at some of these, you know, here's Basic History of the United States. I guarantee you, you're going to hear about God and Jesus Christ in here. Here's one, A Short History of the English People, and it looks like an encyclopedia, you know. And when you read through these true history books that have been around for hundreds of years, you find out that it was a Christian nation, and it was Christian people, and that's why it was blessed. That's why the land just opened up for them, more land and more land and more land, and it grew just in a few hundred years into a great nation. And it was, and we mentioned last night, it was, as de Tocqueville said in the Revolutionary War days, he found out that America, you know, he came over and, who is this little upstart nation, been around a couple hundred years, and all of a sudden, you know, we're hearing about it all over the world. And he looked and looked and finally figured it out and realized that America had become great because America was good. It wasn't that we had more natural resources than France or Mexico or anywhere else. It wasn't that we had, you know, it wasn't that anything, you know, that God just had the land of milk and honey and it was just flowing out and all you had to do is walk up to the water fountain, the candy fountain, and there it was. No, it was because Americans were good biblically.
Yeah. And God gave his people promises that he keeps.
Yes.
You know, it's like, you know, everybody prays, well, not everybody, but we all try to pray what they call the Lord's Prayer. Thy will be done, you know, on earth, mm-hmm. isn't it? You know, but what we people lack to understand is there's promises that aren't so good if we don't keep God's commandments, you know? And so when we're praying that, when we're saying, when we're singing, standing on the promises of God, we're standing on those promises that not only give us blessings, but give us curses. So, I mean, it's the same with all these churches. All they want to hear is, they don't mind hearing what they should do, but they hate hearing what they shouldn't do.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that just irks them when somebody says, thou shalt not do this. You know, I mean, look at John the Baptist when he looked at
Herod,
yeah, and he said, you know, you're in sin, you've got your brother's wife. I mean,
you're breaking the law.
You know, he didn't want to hear that. You know, mm-hmm. But the, you know, and what is the penalty for that? The penalty for that is death. You know, and that, my friends, is a promise of God. That's his will being done on earth. I mean, but people don't, they don't want to go there. They don't want to go there in their mind, so they think only good. Oh, God gave us promises, you know. Well, there's bad promises too. I mean, they're good promises, you know, for the benefit of the people. But for the people, they're not all good promises. You know, it's like, well, there's good news for some, there's bad news for others, you know. And you don't like to see it. You know, you don't like to see all these results that you guys talked about last night. You don't like to see it. And, you know, obviously we need to talk about it because you can't just be like an ostrich with your head in the sand.
Yeah.
But the results, they're not the cause. You know what I mean?
Well, and John's nailed it. You know, it's 2 Chronicles
7:14
or bust. And because if the people won't do that, they could, you know, you're not going to stop it. If they took the army and stood them side by side on the whole southern border, it wouldn't stop them.
Nope.
You know, and the Tea Partiers need to realize
because
God's
will is being done.
Absolutely.
And like John said earlier, they've told us what they're going to do. Well, God also told us here in Micah 4.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Yeah.
I mean, he told us first, actually.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
they know it better.
The locusts are invading.
Absolutely. They absolutely are. They absolutely are. But his promise is still there. You know, his promise is still there. I know, you know, Russell there at Branson, you know, you're giving a little talk or something, and you open it up for question and answers, and Russell gives you some questions, buddy. I mean, you know, he comes up with them sometimes. But and sometimes
but he's living this thing.
He
right
absolutely
there where
is. Yeah. And I know sometimes he's asked and others have, well, what do we do? we realize, and I think the part of it is we realize that we are part of that minute remnant. Because even in the days of the captivities of old, he had his remnant. He had his remnant go into captivity, and he protected them all the way through.
We're to the point now, and you can read about it again in Michael 4, we're to the point now where we are like in the days of Acts, when the apostles were going around. I mean, I'm studying lately on Paul, how he's been beaten so many times with 39 stripes, and he's been stoned, and he's, you know, he's been pelted with all kinds of things, with rods, I think it's. I mean, you can read about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I mean, the things that he went through to spread the gospel. That's where we're at today. You know, I mean,
a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, it is. We're going back to that time.
You know, there's always God gathers his people, but it takes a certain message to be delivered first. You know,
Go ahead, John. Well, you look at Revelation, the fifth seal, and it says, you know, they say how long the saints that are underneath the altar, and he says, not until the rest of the saints that are to be martyred and killed in the same way that you were. So that tells us one thing.
There's
still going to be those that are going to have to give their life to prove that, you know, they stand on the truth that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, and they won't bow their knee to Baal.
Me and Richard was talking about this the other day about, remember when Pastor Peters was bringing his messages on the wedding feast, and he brought out that there's, I think it's in Luke, where it talks about different comings. There's, you know, the first coming, the second, the third. I don't know if coming is the right word, but anyway, some of us, and I hope I'm part of that, you know, is preparing for that coming, you know. And some of them, they're going to have to go through a lot longer hell on earth before they're going to wake up, you know. And then I don't really understand it all, you know, but I know it says it, so I know there's different comings, you know. So, you know, it's like Jason's show, Gideon's Armory, you know. We want to be part of that because that's kind of what this ministry, I mean, we're in the front lines. I mean, that's what this ministry has always been since I've known it, and going back and listening to the tapes from the early 80s, and so, I mean, that's what it's always been, the front lines.
It's been the crier out at on the front saying, here, bringing the bell. The watchman on the wall. Hey, listen, wake up, people. Wake up. This is what's going on.
The front line men in Acts, there's a lot of stuff they went through, you know?
Yeah.
And that's just the facts of the matter.
It is. You know? It is. You know, Hebrews 10:32 and 33 say, remember the former days when, after being enlightened, after you heard the gospel, you endured a great conflict of sufferings, partly by being made a public spectacle through reproaches and tribulations. And the tribulations he's summarizing here, you know, the beatings, because he'd experienced it, Paul had experienced it. The beatings, the stonings, the being run out of town, you know.
Yeah, one time he had to be let down in a basket to escape because they were going to kill him again.
I like how you said that, because they thought they'd already killed him once. Partly by being made a public spectacle through reproaches and tribulations. And many people have faced that. But it goes on and says, and partly by becoming sharers with those who were so treated. You know, because there were some that they weren't beaten, but they hit him and let him down in the basket. And they weren't stoned, but, you know, they took care of the family members who were grieving after their families were stoned. And so he says here, you've become sharers with them. You shared their sufferings with them when you comfort others, when you share their burdens. And so
different gifts.
There are different gifts, but we all share that experience. You know, whether we're the ones that are getting the stones thrown at us or whether we're supporting the people that are.
Yeah, I've been bringing it out how Luke was with Paul.
I
You know, and maybe Luke was with Paul because of what Luke did. Because maybe he was having to bandage him up after every city they went in. Because
Luke was a physician,
right?
Wasn't he?
I mean, not that Luke didn't heal with the same manner all Christians are supposed to heal with faith in Jesus Christ. But, you know, there's certain things that, man, if you know how to bandage up a guy, you're valuable.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And he needed bandaged a lot.
Yeah. You know so, when you've busted your ribs up and it's hard to breathe, I mean, they'll heal.
Yeah.
But if you know that, you know, you, if you know how to wrap them up good and tight to where, that gives relief,
yeah.
You know, in the physical. And, yeah, very, very valuable. And I've always wondered about that. I've read just a little bit of things, and I haven't been able to get your programs. My iPhone's not getting it through. I'm going to have to listen to them on the archives. Those you know, talking about what is through the eyes of Luke. I caught a little bit of that last week. But it is. It's interesting when you read about it, and then you think that how these, you know, a couple traveled here together and a couple traveled there together. And you know, it's you know, how we traveled with Pastor sometimes here and sometimes there.
And the Bible doesn't describe Luke ever getting beat or whatever, but then again, he was martyred after, you know, he was about the last one of the big ones that were martyred, you know what I mean? So the point is, maybe you have a different battle than I've got, you know.
And we have to realize, because we absolutely do.
Absolutely.
As we're different parts of the body, you know, we've covered that time and time again. You know, some are the hands, some are the feet, some are the, you know, they describe that as the body of Christ as being different parts, like different parts of our body, you know. And the different parts have different functions. And I think that very thing is so important for people to realize, for our Christian brethren to realize, is that the you know, some people have a battle of health. Some people have health issues that come upon them, and that maybe it's their thorn in the side, whatever it is. But you know, that's their battle that they have to overcome. You know, some of us have battles of family members. Some of us have battle of self.
Yeah.
Different. We have different battles, different trials that come upon us.
I think Paul says he had dangers with countrymen. He had dangers with false brethren. He had, you know, he had it all.
Check it,
you know,
all. He had the whole list.
Yeah. Where, you know, we might only have a certain part of those, you know.
Right.
Dangers of rivers, dangers of seas. Yeah. I mean, so.
But I think it's important we remember what I read there in Hebrews 10:33. And partly by becoming sharers were those who were so treated. And so, you know, when we come together on Wednesday night and we pray, when we share one another's burdens, you know, that is pleasing to God, because it does this. We share with those that are experiencing the health issues, that are at battle with brethren, or that are in battle with the court system or the police, or, you know, and all that, and we share their burden. We, you know, we pray for them, we pray with them. That's part of being the remnant, you know.
Unfortunately, one of our callings is we were called to suffer. You know, it says that in Peter.
Yeah.
I mean, we were called to suffer.
And so when we do that, what does that bring about? And I touched base on that a little bit Thursday night. You know, the suffering, you know, James 1:1. We still got a few minutes here. I can read this. James 1:1. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad, greetings. So this is to all of us. From here to there. And then he says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. Because they'd had the trials. They'd been run out of this town. They'd been run over here. You know, they had health problems and health issues, just like we do today, that they had to overcome. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And then he goes in about asking for wisdom and that type thing, and asking in faith. And the various trials come. But what are we to do? We are to endure. We are to persevere.
Which means keep obedient. You know, because, I mean, Christ suffered for obedience' sake. If we're a true Christian, that's what the suffering is going to cause. It's going to cause us to be more obedient.
Yeah.
If we turn and run the other way and we fall, then we're not being a true Christian.
Right. You know? Because what does it bring about? It brings about hope. Let's go back to the phone lines. Hey, good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yeah, good morning, Richard, Joe.
Hey, good morning, Joe.
Yeah, you were mentioning previous to the present discussion, I don't mean to digress back, but this Mexican hordes coming over. One thing that struck me when I first heard of this on the radio that morning, I forget when, previous to this, the talk of the day, so to speak, was this one man, an American, I guess he was an ex-military man, or maybe he still was in the military. He was in his car, he was driving south of the border.
Oh, I don't have his name here, but Joe, he's an active duty Marine.
Yeah.
Driving and had some guns and took a wrong turn. Literally. Yeah. I mean, the road just, all of a sudden, you're Mexico. No big signs. And then.
Well, it's set up that way.
Yeah. And then he tells him. He doesn't try to sneak in. I'm sorry, I made a mistake, and I'll just go back.
Yeah.
And he's been in jail for 122 days, and he spent his life savings, and, you know, and our mulatto president just leaves him there. That lets you know, military. Hello, military. You know somebody in the military? You think your president cares about you? Active duty Marine. And they hold him down there.
Yeah. Now, that was the talk of the day. Now, this is the talk of the day. The children coming up from way far south of here through Mexico. And they don't get stopped and questioned and detained, and they're being run up in buses. They're not covertly going on foot in the dark, you know, stopping at watering stations to get refreshed, and you know the on and on and on. Here we go. If you bring this sort of thing up in polite conversation or something like that, you're looked upon as a conspiracy theorist.
You absolutely are, but I think Joe, it ties
for
in
with two eyes and a brain and ears. There's a conspiracy. This is planned.
Yeah.
Our president is off doing something or other, but he'll only come to the aid of somebody whose ultimate thing is going to help his cause.
Yeah, it's called captivity.
Hey, Joe, don't forget, these are not the droids you're looking for.
yeah. See, and that's what it is. It's we're in captivity. And you're right. You know, don't you have eyes to see? And the answer to that, Joe, is no. The people don't have the eyes to see it. They don't have the ears to hear it. They don't have the mind to comprehend it, because they don't have the mind of Christ. Because they're blinded and they're deaf and they're dumb and stupid because they're under a stupor. And that's where our people are. Hey, Joe, thanks for the call. We're going to grab this other caller here before we run out of time. Hey, good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, Richard. This is Austin in Denver.
Hey, Austin in Denver.
Good morning, John, and good morning, Kyle.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to thank you, fellas, for, I should say men of God. I want to thank you for listening to the Holy Spirit, and I want to thank you for praying for us. It sure has made a difference in my life. I've been praying for you fellas, and I've been praying for more of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of all things His.
Amen.
And one of the things I came to recently was that, you know, in Revelations it talks about the number of the beast.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we've gone over this before. And the mark in the hand and the forehead.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the wisdom of that is that what you think and what you do with your hands shows your intent or your mind. And if it's not God's, then you have the beast mind, which is we the people, for the people, and by the people. that would be man, right? And the number of man is six because we were created on the sixth day. And so you get 666 out of this false government that we've created. Instead of being born into the kingdom, we and remaining there, we have created another kingdom and rejected God, and we have become that beast of revelations. That is my understanding.
Yeah, we're
born new under the sun. Just read, yep. Read Judges.
Yeah, absolutely.
Over and over.
Absolutely. You know, we're born into that beast system. We're born into that sin nature.
We're called out of darkness.
And that's why ye must be born again.
Of water and
very
water
good point, Austin. Again, if the people would only see and hear that, you know, that we're born into that beast system. We're born into the fleshly desires to do what we want to do with our hands, with our bodies, with, you know, and God knows what demonic influences are just running around influencing our people.
And you're absolutely right, Austin, about the mark. If you have the mark of God on your forehead, you're going to work God's work with your hands and with your mouth.
The way you get that is by doing the very simple thing of baptism and receiving the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is what changes your countenance and your mind, right? Isn't
that right? Absolutely. It's called the New Covenant.
It is.
And that's when God puts His laws on your mind and on your heart, and you start working with your hands the way He wants you to do it. And if you're still in darkness, if you haven't been called out of darkness, guess what mark you've got?
It's not the mark of God.
It's not.
It's the mark of the beast. It is.
You have the deception of Satan, the devil, who was subtle from the very beginning.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
Well, that's what this ministry was built on. That's what Pastor Peters figured out a long time ago. The enemies of God have removed the truth of immersion baptism. Not only immersion baptism, but repentance, then immersion baptism, being washed in the blood. Receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit and having your name entered into the Lamb's Book of Life. He understood that is one of the most important keys to this spiritual warfare, is you can't win that warfare until you're taken out of man's realm and put into Jesus Christ's realm. And once you're in Jesus Christ's realm, then they can do nothing to you that He does not allow them to do, period.
Amen.
Right. And so we have to stand and stop bowing to these false gods and stand in the knowledge and the mind of Christ.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yep. But that's why it's so important that you understand, you know, at the age of accountability what you're doing. Because the Bible's clear. If you're not going to walk the walk, if you're not going to live your life as a Christian, then you're better off not doing it, because you will incur stricter judgment.
Yep.
And the only thing I have otherwise to say is pray, because that's the only thing that Satan fears and this beast system fears is your prayer.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Awesome. I want to thank you guys for praying, and I want to thank you for this show every Saturday morning. I never miss it. It just boosts me like you wouldn't believe. Thank you.
Thank you, Austin.
Thank you, Austin.
Keep praying, brother.
Amen. Austin called in Wednesday night. He had just baptized a brother down there, and had the guy call him. We talked about that. So praise the Lord. And that's what we're to
coffee.
Do. That's what we are to do.
I had coffee yesterday morning with a man that wants me to baptize him, and he's going to baptize his wife, hopefully, in the next week or so. So praise the Lord. The word's getting out there.
People
are starting to know there's something wrong. They're starting to know that they're missing something. They're starting to know that they've been lied to.
Right. Right, and it may not, and it's not going to be the masses. It's I've desired that for years. Oh, that we go to church one morning and the cars are just lined up like they're having a big race, and they're all just there to get baptized. You know, and that's my desire. Okay, but I don't think it's going to be that way. It's going to be like John said. It's going to be, hey, here's a husband. He's going to baptize him and his wife. You know, and in Branson we had over 200 people. 9 got baptized, and that's what you have: 1 here, 2 there. But that's that remnant. You know, the Bible's true. It's another promise of God. He says, "Hey, I'll make you your people, Abraham, as the stars of the sky and the sand of the sea." And He has done that. In the time from now back to Abraham, His his people have been immeasurable, innumerable.
Yeah.
But he says, even though you come that way, it's only a remnant that are saved. It's only a remnant. It's only that remnant that make those, that even the first and second coming.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Because so many Revelation, are not going to believe.
Revelation 22, starting in verse 10, under the subtitle, The Final Message. And he said to me, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. Let the one who does wrong still do wrong, and the one who is filthy still be filthy. And let the one who is righteous still practice righteousness, and the one who is holy still keep himself holy. And it tells you right there, and there's other examples of that exactly. You know, those who live unrighteously will continue. Those who live wickedly will continue to live wickedly. It's only going to be the remnant, like you say, that have the eyes to see and the ears to hear and the laws of God written on their heart, because they are true Israel.
Yep. Amen. Amen. Well, guys, there went that hour again. So thank you guys for coming out and joining us this morning. We thank you, the remnant, for tuning in this Saturday morning. And like Austin said, he said it encourages him and encourages us.
Oh, absolutely.
It's sure worth it to set that alarm early on Saturday and get up and be over here and have fellowship with each other and with you, the remnant. We invite you to come to church with us tomorrow for some more fellowship and praise and worship
Be looking for your newsletter, too, Kyle. Bible. Got that mailed out yesterday, so
yep.
Praise the Lord.
Newsletter's in the mail. We emailed it out middle of the week in a PDF, so if you'd like that emailed, we can email it to you. Our address is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. Our email is preacher@sfaw.org. That's preacher@sfaw.org. You can go to the website, scripturesforamerica.org, tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Mountain, 11 Central, and join us for church. Be a little different. Got some plenty of time for songs tomorrow, so we do encourage you to join us. Well, thanks a lot, and God bless to all that are His. Yeah, see you at church tomorrow.
Amen.
Rolling, 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 rolling. Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and pray together, make 'em health and forever. Knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move 'em out, head 'em off, head 'em off. Move 'em out, move 'em out, head 'em off, stay high.
Ride 'em out, ride 'em more, ride 'em more, ride 'em out, ride 'em out, ride 'em more.
Stay high.
Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake high.
They're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out.